Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Pedro.
Pedro says, hello there, exclamation point. I had a question regarding a previous episode you guys mentioned on whether it matters. It's a broken sentence. On a previous episode, you guys mentioned whether it matters where you attain your undergraduate degree. That is a very weird use of attain, but I guess it's right, huh?
Yeah.
Is there a difference between attain and obtain?
That's what I was just wondering.
You could always just say get or got. And so I think obtain is one of the very worst words. I hate that word.
Attain means to reach, achieve, or accomplish through means of hard work. Obtain means to get.
It sounds like they both mean to get. attain was more appropriate here than obtain. Did I ever tell you about the guy who had a voicemail that we endlessly clowned on him because the voicemail went like, yeah, hey, this is Alan. I'm not here to obtain your call right now.
Yeah, you did tell me about that. Yeah.
Me and my buddies just thought that that was the height of comedy.
He never changed it, huh? He just left it.
I don't know. We just remember a lot. Anyway, we mentioned that it does not. Why does he keep saying mentioned as well? You can just say said. Okay. Considering that there is no mention of it on the 509 report. So, yeah, the fact that schools don't have to report where you went to school, just your GPA, I think that it does make it a lot less of an issue. I mean, it matters. It just doesn't matter nearly as much as you might think. Okay, so here's my questions, says Pedro.
Yep.
If a student majors in an easy degree, whatever degree that may be viewed as easy, followed by attending an easy A college, at an easy A college, does that not set up a student to face greater difficulties when they attend law school? Let's suppose that the same student works hard on their LSAT, and even so, they attain, say, a 178 LSAT score. No doubt, that student will have scholarship offers.
Yep. Yeah.
What Pedro is asking, there was a question earlier, and then a let's suppose that I'm not sure it really was related to that question.
I guess so. This is what I'm getting from Pedro. Pedro is saying, hey, you have a high LSAT score, you have a high GPA because you went to an easy college. You're going to get accepted and you're going to get offers, but isn't that going to set you up for failure because you're really not as prepared as your grades suggest you will be? Yeah, that's why that's another reason to keep the LSAT score around. I mean, if you have a killer LSAT score and you have good grades, even though it's from an easy college, yeah, maybe law school is going to end up being harder for everyone, and it might be a little bit harder for you than for others. But if you're going to a school on a scholarship, that means you're in the top of the class on some level, even if it's not as high as it might have been, or you might have been, or you might not be as prepared as you would have been had you gone to a harder college. But I don't know. That just seems like a small concern to have.
Pedro continues, on the side, you have mentioned that the reason why GPA is one of the two major factors is because 4 years of an academic record is a great predictor for 1L grades, which it is.
It's not as great of a predictor as the LSAT, though. We need to make that clear. It's like one fifth of the power of the LSAT.
And neither one of them alone is as good of a predictor as the two of them combined. So that's why law schools use LSAT and GPA, because that's the way that they can predict your 1L grades. So GPA is not as good, though, as LSAT is. Returning to the same example, says Pedro, wouldn't the student be setting themselves up for failure or greater struggle? Would you advise reconsidering this approach? It doesn't matter what you major in, because arguably all 1L students, regardless of their major, start at the same level. But what about the same student that hardly struggled in their years as an undergrad?
We don't care about this because we want you to go to law school for free. Whether you do that because you had an easy major and an easy school or whatnot, if you can get into a law school for free, then if law school ends up being hard for you, you can back out. And if it's hard for you at a school that you got into for free, then law school is not for you.
Right.
Because generally you're still somewhat at the top of the class.
Yeah. If you're not doing well in law school, you should drop out generally. Maybe are some exceptions at certain schools, you know, like if you're at Harvard Law and all you want to do is public interest, well, then, you know, you don't really need to excel at Harvard Law because you're probably going to be able to get that job anyway. And so you can do poorly at great law schools and be just fine. But if you're at a mediocre law school like Hastings, let's say, and I don't care what kind of law you want to practice, if you're not doing well, you're not doing well in law stuff. Like, you're doing bad in legal. This is the beginning of your legal career and it's not going well.
Yeah.
And so I do think more people should drop out of law school.
Well, and what Pedro is talking about here are people who in particular got full rides. If you are at the top of your class and, or theoretically near the top of your class and you're not doing well, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, I think Pedro is wildly overthinking this, like, how much do you really benefit from working hard in undergrad? I don't know that, like, oh, you had to really grind it out on your major in undergrad and that's going to make you a better student when you get to law school. I don't know. Because, like, getting good grades is kind of related to kissing ass. It's related to choosing the right classes. It's like playing the game, you know, and going to Easy A University and choosing Easy A classes is kind of like you're good at the game.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that classes that challenge you, majors that challenge you, that require you to think and they're not easy, will help you. But it's just such a small piece of the big picture. I wouldn't worry about that.
And
Because the big
picture is, do shit you're passionate about. Stop thinking about law school admissions. Take classes that interest you and then kick ass in those classes.
Yeah.
That's what we should all really be doing. And then we should be kind of deciding whether we're going to go to law school way down the line. Like, after we've already got our best LSAT, our grades are awesome, our LSAT's awesome. Now we apply. Now we get awesome offers. That's when we should decide that we're going to go to law school.
Yeah.
Far too many people decide that they're going to go to law school before they're even, like, they're getting bad grades in undergrad and they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to go to law school.
Yeah.
Or they haven't even looked at the LSAT yet. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to go to law school. Well, really, you don't know at all what you're getting yourself into. So I would prefer that you explore all your options, and if it ends up being law school, great, but you shouldn't be making these decisions based on, because if you are, like, let's back off for a second. Like, if you are really going to law school or bust, then I think I do kind of change my advice about what you should do as an undergrad. Like, I think you should take easy classes. I really do think you should, because you have to get straight A's, right? If you're going to go to law school, you have to get straight A's. So if you know for sure that you're going to go to law school, then don't challenge yourself with, like, oh, I wonder how I would do in organic chemistry. That seems interesting to me. O-Chem seems really interesting to me. I think I might be passionate about this. I'm going to take O-Chem.
Yeah, but the problem with what you're saying is we can never accept that assumption.
Right. Yeah, that is what we're saying. We both are saying, don't decide to go to law school too soon. Like,
yep.
You can cross that bridge once you have offers in hand.
Yes.
Still turn
That's
down
when the D
school.
Appears in the GLAD acronym.
Yeah.
It appears after you've applied broadly and early.
So you can have this suspicion that you think you might want to go to law school. And, you know, and if you're like, well, but if I'm going to jump through all those hoops, I don't want to be jumping through all those hoops unless I'm sure. Well, lawyers are hoop jumpers. Like, if you're like, oh boy, this is tedious, I don't want to be doing all this shit, just, you know, and I might not even go to law school anyway. Well, yeah, then that's just don't go to law school. Just go ahead and decide now that you're not going to go to law school.
Yeah.
Because like, if you're the right fit for this type of a world, you're going to love the idea of doing a whole bunch of unnecessary extra work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just who, that's the type of people that are going to rise to the top, I think. Anyway, all over the place there. Are we done?
I think Pedro. So. Oh, wait, Pedro says, thanks in advance for the response. The podcast is always informative and a must for applying aspiring law students. Plus, you guys tell it as it is. More of that is needed. Exclamation point. Thanks again. Exclamation point, Pedro. Hey, Pedro, thanks for writing in.
Pedro, in the spirit of telling it as it is, I found your email to be pretty hard to read. I think that you could have maybe read that out loud and you could have cleaned it up pretty significantly. Appreciate you. Thank you for writing in. Since you told me that you like it when we tell it like it is, I'm going to tell you that I want you to put a little more attention into your writing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. It. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.